Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to the Man's Voice here on this Sunday, or Sunday before Christmas, Sunday. We're glad you're here with us. We are scarce on the panel today. We got a couple of the panelists in, but trust me, good guys are here. We're going to talk about whatever it is you want to talk about. But I'd like to say what's up to Don and what's up to Darius. How are you guys doing?
Doing great. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas to you, Darius and David D and D.
D and D. Hey, I'm doing absolutely fantastic, man. I'm so much better than I deserve. God is great. Life is good, man. And I'm happy to be here with you gentlemen. I pray that you guys are doing as well.
I am.
I have an
email from a person who wanted to ask you something, Darius. I didn't want to really get into a whole lot of politics on the week before Christmas, but that's what it seems like we're going to be into. But someone asked and said wanted to talk to the guy they named you out. Anyway, it says Donald Trump pledged to fix the United States infrastructure as president. He vowed to take on China and bulk up American manufacturing. He said he would reduce the budget deficit, yet after 2 years as president, it's Joe Biden who is acting on those promises. Why do you think that is happening, and why do you think that the things that Donald Trump said he would do as president didn't come to fruition, but yet he's wanting to run again? So Darius, that was sent to you. So if you want to answer that.
I would disagree on the part about the infrastructure. Donald Trump did pass an infrastructure bill. What Joe Biden did was basically he and the Democrats proposed another infrastructure bill, which from what I understand, only about 6% of that is actually going to the infrastructure. It's a lot of pet projects in there. But he did do that. In terms of the deficit, the caller is absolutely correct. He did not fulfill his promises on the deficit or the debt, and it's becoming increasingly frustrating for me as a conservative to watch conservatives get in office and always talk about smaller government, but no matter who's in office, the government just keeps growing and growing. And it's funny that they brought that question because I was looking last week at the new omnibus bill that they're proposing, because we're facing another government shutdown. And although the Republicans are going to have the House in January, rather than voting for a bill that would just sustain the government until then, they're going to go along. It looks like the Senate has already decided, Mitch McConnell, to go along with the Democrats and sign this huge, this massive funding trillion-dollar bill that nobody's going to have a chance to read. But getting back to the topic about Donald Trump, it's just frustrating to me because this happens on both sides. No politician or no party that gets in office actually decreases spending. In Donald Trump's defense, though, because you asked why would he be seeking another be elected again after he didn't fulfill those promises, he did everything else he said. Up until COVID, the deficit was going down. The deficit only increased because we had increased spending because of COVID. Consequently, the deficit only went down under Joe Biden because he reduced the amount of the accelerated spending that Donald Trump and the government put in place during COVID. So he didn't really, if you look back to pre-COVID terms, he has not brought the deficit down post-COVID terms. But when you look at the economy that Donald Trump promised, when you look at our standing on the international stage that he promised, you look at him establishing peace in the Middle East that nobody said could be done, even in spite of him tearing up the Iranian nuclear deals. You look at his unemployment rate. It's just a whole lot of gains that Donald Trump made, and I felt like if he would have had another 4 years, we would definitely be on a faster track, and we certainly would not be facing inflation as we are right now.
All right. Welcome, Michael and Jeremiah. Michael, I don't know if you were listening to that, or Don. Don, you were listening to that. What are your comments?
You know, I'm listening to Darius, and Darius does a great job of defending former President 45. And, you know, it's okay because, you know, he did some good. I do give him credit for that. He did some good. But his divisiveness outweighed everything that he did. This country is more divided than ever before in history since his election and since his presidency. I've never seen this country so divided racially, economically, every area, housing, every area. You can go right down the line. It seems like the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. And, I don't think that he has the right to even run again. Like I said before, the chickens have come home to roost. He's going to be faced with so many legal challenges that are going to keep him busy where he's not going to even be able to breathe. He's going to be so consumed mentally, physically, emotionally, financially, that he's not going to be able to run effectively. And I'm just waiting to see the fiasco and the debate between him and Ron DeSantis. Man, that's going to be a fun joke. Ooh-wee! I mean, man, we're going to have 60 minutes on that show. That's going to be fantastic. And he's going to show out. But the thing is, he's going to have to deal with all of these legal battles that he's facing now. His taxes are going to be displayed real soon. The January 6th situation is going to be displayed probably this week. This is going to be a very interesting week this week, right before Christmas. Wow, what a Christmas gift.
Yeah, wow. All right, I want to do something a little different this week. My gift to everyone is here. I'm going to go around the panelists and let you guys say what you want to say. This is the last show for this 2022, so I want to hear your thoughts and things that you might want to bring up and have a conversation with. So let me start out with Michael. I think that's you on 6194. So what would you like to bring to the table?
Oh, thanks for calling on me, David. But if it's okay with you, could I address the last topic? I had something to say on that. Sure. Is that okay?
Sure.
Yeah, because I did hear it. I heard what the question was from the caller. And I just want to give pushback and credit to Darius for two things. One, Darius, you were wrong in saying that there's peace in the Middle East and Donald Trump accomplished that. Like, I don't know which news channel you're watching, but there is no peace in the Middle East right now. Okay, secondly, the unemployment rate was low, but he got handed that low unemployment rate from Barack Obama. And the unemployment rate has continued to be low under Joe Biden. So you can't really put those two accomplishments on his plate. But you can say the spending. You were right, Darius. The spending is just out of control for both the Republican and the Democratic Party. And this new budget that you're upset about that they voted on, Darius, I can tell you it is in there, $800 billion for the Pentagon. That's what's in there, and that's why you can get Republicans and Democrats to vote for it so fast, because they'll spend a lot of money when it comes to the Pentagon, but nothing else. So that's it. I just wanted to say that on that last topic. But what I would like to bring to the table, David, and we hopefully we can talk about it around the table, is I want to talk about how and I know this is, you say you want to stay away from politics, but I just want to talk about how divided we are as a country into the new year that's getting ready to start. Do we really see going forward that things are going to get any better or are things going to get any worse? I particularly don't see them getting any better, so I would like to just throw that to the table.
All right. Jeremiah, what are your thoughts on that? I guess he doesn't have any. So what are your thoughts on that, Tom?
I agree with you, Michael. Like I said before, he has caused more divisiveness than any president in my lifetime. We're being divided now more so than ever. I mean, man, and I don't think it's going to get any better. I don't know what to do or what to say to help it get any better. I'm thinking on the positive side opposed to the negative side, but, man, Michael, the negatives just outweigh the positives in so many areas. I mean, it's disheartening. I've never seen nothing like it in my life. Let me say that.
All right. What about you, Darius?
Yeah, I heard Don earlier. But first, I want to rebut Michael and let Michael know about the Abrahamic Accords, which is what Donald Trump got signed in the Middle East between countries that we thought would never, ever get along. So that what there weren't any wars during his presidency because of the peace treaty that he had them sign. So and they want to get that out of there. I also want to state that we did have record unemployment. It doesn't matter what the fact that it was going down when he got in office is true, but it was definitely his plans that caused the economy to surge the way it did, his economic plans. Don mentioned, just like Michael just did, about the divide in the nation and blaming it on Donald Trump. However, Joe Biden's been in office for 2 years. Joe Biden promised he would be the uniter in chief. But I have, if we are not united, I don't see how it could still be Donald Trump's fault. And then you talk about this division like we never seen before, but I don't know if you guys remember that Charlottesville and stuff, I'm sorry, before that, with the Tea Party, that happened under President Barack Obama. When we had the feds go in and raid the IRS, raid conservatives, that was under Barack Obama. When we had the shootings of the Republicans, that was under Barack Obama. When we had the people that were, the moms, I think, that were raided. I can't remember the exact place. But anyway, a lot of the stuff that happened under Barack Obama, too. And you guys have a short-term memory. You talk about division, and it's Joe Biden that comes out and makes a speech and talks about half of the country being MAGA Republicans, how they're evil, how they're racist, how they're bigoted. I don't know how that's going to help unite the country. So when you resort to things like name-calling and when you call people out because you disagree with their political beliefs and you call them Nazis and you call them Hitler and bigots and homophobes, how do you expect the country to be united? And all of that stuff is really coming from the libs. The libs are the ones that's rioting, that's burning up things, that's shooting cops, that's burning cop cars, that's burning police cars, that's saying that the police are racist, that the government is racist, that the government is Hitler. So it's kind of odd that you guys would talk about wanting to unite the country when all you do is speak hate, hate, hate. And am I saying that there's some people in the country that aren't haters? Of course not. They're racist in the country. They're homophobes in the country. But you guys have this thing where if anyone simply disagrees with your objective, or disagrees with your lifestyle or disagrees with your opinion politically that you say they are the worst human beings here, the scourge of the earth. And that right there is not helpful, especially when it's coming from the mouth of your president. And you have the Speaker of the House saying she wants to punch Donald Trump in the mouth. Like, you guys are really hilarious to talk about Donald Trump causing division when your party is doing all of this stuff. Like, it's crazy to me. But I don't want to take up too much time, but I do want to say something because Don wasn't here last week, and Michael. I saw some encouraging news on the polls of this last election. If you look at some of the states like Georgia and Florida, I saw where party members switched lines to vote for their favorite candidate. So that indicated to me that the country is not as tribal as we once thought it was, and that things that there is a ray of hope. You had a significant amount of Republicans that voted for governor Republican, but then they voted for the Democrat for the senator. Then in Florida, you had a significant amount of Democrats that voted for DeSantis. So that right there gives me hope that this country isn't totally as divided as we thought, but it also means that there's a pathway that people will vote against their party line if it's a good politician and if they believe in the policies or that the person is better for their community.
Oh, okay, Darius, man, a lot there, brother. Let me unpack it one at a time. First of all, the fact that you're saying that we're kind of coming together because Georgia was smart enough to not vote for Herschel Walker, like Herschel Walker was just the worst candidate ever in history. Okay, so just because people were smart enough to not vote for him, I don't think that's saying, oh, we're kind of coming together a little bit. So bad idea there. But I'm going to give you an example of hatred. You pointed out a lot of examples of hatred that you claim that the liberals and the Democrats are putting out. I'm going to give you a current example of some hatred that the leader, Donald Trump, and your Republicans just put out, and that's on Brittany Griner. Brittany Griner, who's a WNBA gold medalist, a national treasure, was just returned home from being held hostage in another country. And Donald Trump just demolished that idea and just said how horrible it was and belittled her. Everybody on my side, the Democrats, were saying how great that is to have her home, but everyone on your side thinks it's a horrible thing and they should have left her over there. Okay, that's hatred right there. Why couldn't we just all be happy that we were getting an American treasure back as a nation? Why did Donald Trump and your side have to go negative on that?
And when it came to Ron DeSantis, and then Darius, when it came to Ron DeSantis, Michael alluded to earlier, we've got to learn how to pick better candidates. Herschel Walker was not a good candidate, and also the person running against DeSantis was not a good candidate. So, I mean, we need to bring out the best candidates.
Well, that was my point, that if you have a good candidate, people will cross party lines and vote for that candidate. So my point was it didn't just happen with Georgia Republicans. It happened in Arizona. It happened in Nevada. It happened in Florida. Like I said, Democrats and Hispanics overwhelmingly voted for DeSantis. Democrats and Hispanics voted for Republicans, voted for Kemp here in Georgia. So it wasn't just Republicans who crossed over. It was both parties you see crossing over to different candidates. And that right there lets me know that we're not as tribal as people believe that we are.
So why so much hatred for Brittany Griner? From your side for that?
I'm getting to that now. It's funny you brought that up because we discussed that last week. And the thing with Brittany Griner, it has nothing to do with racism, Michael. What happened is they believe that it was an unfair swap. I mean, well, what we gave up, you're talking about a person who's responsible for murders of thousands of people around the world. And we gave that up for somebody who had a little bit of weed in their vape pen. That right there is not a sign of strength, and that's not bargaining from a position of strength. So if you want to say racism, then you got to look back to the fact that Donald Trump brought Kodak Black back. He brought ASAP Rocky back. He got Lil Wayne out of trouble. There are countless amounts and numbers of Black Harry. I mean, I can go on and on and name all the black people that Donald Trump freed and the black people that he brought home from overseas that were facing charges. So
okay,
please,
I
got to
stop you there.
Let's not bring up the race card, man, over and over.
Because
lots of people got freed under him. Don't do that.
Let me stop you there. Donald Trump got paid quite handsomely to bring Lil Wayne home, to bring Harry O home, to bring Kodak Black home. There was a $2 million fee for that. Each one of those guys paid Kushner $2 million for that pardon. He didn't bring those guys home for free. Let's be clear on that. Okay, now, secondly, if Brittany Griner was a blonde-haired, blue-eyed white girl, do you really think they would be upset? Do you really think Donald Trump and them would be upset that we brought her home for anybody? Honestly, Darius?
Michael, that's a lie what you just stated, and I can't allow you to say that against the good that this man has done for the black community. He did not get paid to bring those people home. And if you have
absolutely got paid. Snoop Dogg paid $2 million to bring Harry O home. Snoop Dogg said it himself.
He didn't pay Donald Trump. Don't do that, man. Come on. And if that's the case, why didn't they pay Barack? Why didn't Barack Obama bring him home? If it's about black and white, all
because
I'm saying
Barack
is
Obama wasn't going to sell his power the way Donald Trump sold his power.
Wow. So your argument about racism then is out the window because you can't tell me that Barack Obama had more money than Donald Trump. So if anybody was motivated by money, it probably would have been Barack Obama. Donald Trump is not motivated by money, and the fact of that, the proof and the evidence of that, is that he took a job with no salary, and his income, his wealth declined because he became president. The only president whose income declined.
Well,
he transferred
his wealth to his family. Come on, don't say his wealth declined because
it did. The total wealth
and
of
his
Trump,
son-in-law reaped money like never before. Come on, man.
The total
he just declined and transferred the wealth.
That's not true, Don. The total wealth of the Trump empire declined after he took presidency, and he did not take a salary the whole time he was there. That's a fact. The developments that he had in the works, the plans that he was making going forward with, he had to put a halt to all of those to run for president. He would have been far more richer and far more well-liked. Trust me, because he was a celebrity liked by the Democrats and the Republicans, blacks and whites, before he put that R to his name. Every rapper was trying to do a video with Donald Trump. Every famous black entertainer was trying to take pictures and be involved in the social life community with Donald Trump, trying to be on The Apprentice until he put that R behind his name. So, guys, miss me with all of that, please.
Okay,
Darius,
please answer this question for me. Do you honestly believe, and I know this is fact, do you honestly believe that Donald Trump pardoned Kodak Black just because he liked him? You really don't think there was a fee involved for that pardon, Darius?
What could you give a man that's supposedly worth
$1
billion?
Yes or no, do you not think there was a fee involved,
but
you think he just did it because he liked him?
No, not because he liked him. I think he did it because he was an American and he wanted to bring him home. That's why he did it.
You don't think there was a fee involved?
No, absolutely not. Do you think if that was Mike?
I'm
going to
send you the video of Snoop Dogg saying. Snoop Dogg said he paid a $2 million fee to bring Harry home. I'm going
to
send you the video.
So he wrote a check for $2 million
to
Donald Trump.
Yes, he did. He wrote a $2 million. Yes, I'm going to send you the video.
Show me that, Michael.
Yes.
Show me that, please, sir. Please.
Absolutely. Yes.
That's illegal. That's illegal. You can't even do that.
Oh, you're shocked that Donald Trump broke the law? Really?
No, I'm shocked that if he did, it wouldn't have been exposed, that everybody wouldn't be standing up in arms about it. So show me that. Please forward that article to me. I need to see it.
Yes.
Until then, I'm not believing it.
Yes. I guarantee you they transferred the funds in a way that there's no way he can be convicted for. I guarantee you they cleaned it up to where the funds were sent to some donated to somewhere, whatever. They cleaned up the transfer enough to make it where Donald Trump won't get convicted of a crime. Trust me, they did that.
All right. Let's move on. I see Don had to go away for a minute there. All right, he's back. Let's go back to Darius. Is there something that you wanted to bring to the table this week?
Yeah, I was watching something. We were talking about this omnibus bill with all the spending that's going on. And another part of this omnibus bill is more money, I think another $17 billion going to Ukraine. This is on top of the almost $60 billion that they already have. I think we're approaching $100 billion to the Ukrainians, And my question to you is not just about Ukraine, but my question to you guys is how far should America go when it comes to the defense of other nations that are not a threat to our democracy or our freedom? And I understand that, you know, you don't want a communist empire to grow and gain strength. But I'm just wondering, how far should we go? And do you guys feel like it may need to be audited a little more closely, seeing as how we've already discovered that the Bidens have financial dealings and ties, business ties with the Ukrainians?
I'd like to answer that, Darius. You know, I first of all, I'd like to say America has always been the financial arm and the breadbasket to the world. I mean, we have been the breadbasket to the world, feed the world, bail out the world, bail out every country. And we have people right here in America that are facing hunger, lack of insurance. I could go on and on, that need help. And when I look at the monies that we spend in other countries, and we have a bad habit of taking care of other homes opposed to our own home, it bothers me. It bothers me. Now, we are the richest country, they say, in the world. We have the most awesome military. We can defend ourselves. Why do we keep bailing out other countries? I can't understand that. Help me.
Yeah, I got to agree with you on that one, Brother Wiggins. And to answer your question, Darius, yeah, I think it needs to be audited more, not just because it's Joe Biden, but I just think it is because just the American government, just as a government, we've been known to just throw flush money down the toilet, basically. So, yeah, I definitely think it should be audited more. And we're spending a lot of money on Ukraine because they're a European country. Let's be clear on that, Darius. If that was an African country that was in dire straits or under attack, we wouldn't spend this type of money on them at all. We won't spend this type of money to get good water pipes in Flint and Detroit and Michigan. So, no, we're spending this money because it's a European country. That's what it is.
Very good analogy,
yeah,
Mike.
It's okay, guys. Cause if you look at over the years, all the money we've spent in the Middle East, they're not Europeans. We spent far more money in Iraq and Afghanistan. You know, those are not European countries.
Oil-rich countries.
You know,
we were there for the oil.
Yeah, once again, Michael, it's like you keep wanting to bring it back to racism, brother, but everything is not about racism. And also, too, they just committed, I think it's $60-some billion dollars to Africa, to African nations in an effort, which is something I totally disagree with, but in an effort to combat global warming. They just did that about a month or so ago. So it's not just European countries. But I guess my question to you was, I understand, you know, as Don was saying too, that we've always been the breadbasket and we've always stood for freedom and liberty. But Ukrainians aren't really our allies. They're not a part of NATO. And they've been known for their corruption years since then. So I'm just saying, and I understand, too, there's the dilemma. Do we sit by and watch genocide happen? You know, the Russians are going in there and just murdering innocent civilians, not soldiers. They're beheading people, tying up, torturing them. Do we have an obligation? Can we sit by idly and watch? And if we do have an obligation, should there be a limit to it? Like, how far do we go with this thing? When you said, Don, we have people here that are starving and, you know, homeless in our own country. I'm just curious because I can see the coins in there.
Well, let me ask you this, Darius. You have a great family and a great sense of responsibility to your family. I can tell that over the years that we've communicated on The Man's Voice. And you're a man of God, and I love that about you. Would you, if you had $1 million, would you take care of your family or would you take care of Ukraine?
Well, I mean, I'd definitely take care of my family first. That's my first obligation.
Well, that's the point I'm making.
And that's what God commands. And that's what God commands me too, to take care of my family first. But
that's the point I'm making.
Okay.
That's the point. That's the point I'm making. We need to learn how to take care of our family, man. Man, I mean, black, white, Chinese, all nationalities. I mean, that's not racial. That's humanitarian. We need to learn how to take care of our people here in America, man. America is really at a turning point, politically, racially, economically. The rich get richer and the poor get poorer. And this new bill is directed, the Pentagon, the rich get richer again. My God. But why send all this money over to Ukraine? Well, if you're going to protect them, protect them. I mean, go in there and give them some ammunition to work with. If you're going to do it, I never got into a half fight.
Well, we're doing
that.
I was going to ask you this, Michael. You know, I respect what Don said, but, you know, it's really not a binary question because, you know, we can do both, and we have. It's not like we've neglected our folks at home. I don't think that a lot of what's going on at home is the money issue, but how far do we go and how much, you know, how much are we willing to commit in a situation
like that,
or if anything?
Okay, real quick, I want to, with Don Wiggins, the point I thought you were making is I thought you were making in regards to family, we need to take care of family first. I thought the point you were making is that, yeah, America looks at those Europeans as family. That's family to them that are under attack. That's how I took it. Like, yeah, they're going to take care of family first. Those Europeans are family. They don't look at us black folk as family. So they're not going to take care of us. So that's how I took what you were saying. Now, in regards to the spending cap, Darius, Darius, real quick, there's in Africa right now, there's a country called Ethiopia, you know. In Ethiopia, they're in the midst of a civil war with a country called Eritrean. Eritrean, they're a subculture of Ethiopian. They're the most beautiful people you ever wanted to see. If you ever meet an Eritrean person, they are so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
They're in a civil war right now, and the same thing that's happening with Russia and Ukraine is happening with Ethiopia and Eritrea. But you don't see us sending any money over there to help with that war, just FYI.
That's a very good point, Michael, because I remember what happened in Sudan as well, but I do remember what happened in Mogadishu, and we went there. But, you know, there are tribal wars. You know, that's a difference because there are tribal wars that have been going on for centuries, you know, for ages. And I think if you go there, you're getting involved in a tribal war, which will cause, you know, a bog down. This is a situation where another country is just simply being invaded and being massacred. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't be there for, if you're going to be there for one, maybe be there for all. I don't know. That's why I'm asking questions. I'm not saying that either is right. But I'm just wanting to know how far should we go. And, you know, is it morally okay for us to sit by and watch innocent people be slaughtered?
All right, gentlemen, I think this has come to a point where I think we're halfway through the show right now, and I want to ask one more person to bring something to the table, but then I'm going to go through questions that I've gotten over the period of time, the last couple of months, to ask you for the end of the year here show. But before I do that, Jeremiah, did you want to bring something to the table?
Yes. I wanted to ask the panelists a question related to BG. You know, by being that we have other U.S. citizens that are still stuck in Russia, What's you guys' take on that with her and also with, I forgot the gentleman's name that's been over there prior to her being arrested and imprisoned in Russia. Anybody's opinion on that? Everybody's opinion on that, pretty much.
Okay. It's a conversation we had last week, but I think the question is, you get some answers. So, Don, what are your thoughts? Wow. Okay, Michael, what about you?
Yeah, well, the guy, okay, I agree that, you know, Brittany Griner was, it was an unfair trade, fair enough. I agree. There are other people who are over there that are more important that probably should have came home. But this Paul Wheeler guy, the Navy SEAL guy, he's not really that good of a guy. I did some research on him, and he was kind of a bad actor himself. I'm just going to say that. But to the overall question of the thousands of, if not hundreds or thousands of other people who are held hostage in countries right now, how far should we go to get them back? And was it such a good idea to do it for Brittany? I say yes, because Brittany Griner was a national treasure. She had won 2 gold medals for the United States, so I would say the stakes were a little higher for her, not to mention she's a 6'8" lesbian, and they really don't like 6'8" black lesbians in Russia. So I would say yeah to the question, was it really worth it, the Brittany Griner swap? Yeah, my answer is yes.
All right. Does that answer your question, Jeremiah?
Also, can we get
Darius
to weigh in on it?
I say absolutely not. It wasn't worth it. I say that because of, I think we should have fought to get her. So I don't want this to be misunderstood as me saying, oh, we should have just let her stay in jail there. I think you have to bargain from a position of strength. And once again, like I said, when you're America and you're supposed to be the most powerful country on earth, you don't let another country dictate the terms in which they will release Americans. They release Americans or else. That should be our policy going in. And the reason why I said no, it wasn't worth it on top of that is because what you've done is you've shown weakness. If we were going to let the guy go, I can't remember his name now, but this terrorist, this weapons dealer who's responsible for thousands of deaths, they should have released both of the prisoners there if you're going to do something like that. But if not, you say no, you're just going to let them go, and that's the end of it. And if you don't, this is what's going to happen to you from a position of strength, like I said, because what's going to happen now is the next American, a high-profile American that goes to Russia, they're going to arrest them on some trumped-up charge, and then they're going to say, hey, we have this guy, and we found, you know, some cocaine powder residue on his clothes, and we're going to hold him. And then they're going to say, if you don't, then you have to release 2 guys this time, both who are mass murderers or who are Russian spies or KGB. They're going to up the ante, and it may not just be Russia, but it may be another country that's watching this happen. So for that reason, I'm saying no, it wasn't worth it because of the risk that you put at Americans traveling abroad all over the world.
Michael, they gave us an ultimatum. They said one or none. And Biden selected her, and for political reasons, and like they said, a 2-time gold medalist, and also I can bet right now that this arms person that we released is sitting down with Putin right now talking about Ukraine.
Oh, he definitely is. I saw an interview with him. And yeah, he definitely is. Absolutely he is. Go ahead, Darius. I'm sorry.
No, I'm saying what you're saying, Michael. I agree with you. He absolutely is, and that's why we should not have released him. And it's not that you tell us one or none. We tell you you're going to release them or this is what's going to happen because we're in the position of more power than Russia. We have more power internationally than Russia. And so you don't let him tell you either you release this one or nothing. My answer would have been, okay, none, and then watch me slap these sanctions on you. Watch me show my strength with our allies and force you to release them or put you in a very uncomfortable situation.
Okay, those sanctions mean nothing to Vladimir Putin, okay? Let's be clear on that. I'm going to throw this question back to Jeremiah. Jeremiah, do you think the bigger question, though, moving forward is why does a National Treasure two-time gold medalist have to go to Russia to supplement her income? I mean, I think that should be the bigger question because the Russians and Vladimir Putin are looking at us as like, hey, America, you're such a shitty country over there that your two-time gold medalist has to come over here to supplement her income. Why wasn't she financially taken better care of to where she doesn't have to fly to Russia to make a little money? I think that's the bigger question, Jeremiah. What do you think about that?
I'm not sure on how much the WNBA makes compared to the NBA. I know that some athletes do it to, like, stay in shape off-season. They just love basketball. They want to stay in shape. And that's a great way to earn additional – everybody likes money. Earn additional money and stay in shape at the same time. So when a WNBA rolls back around, you're not sitting at home on the couch, you know. So we would have to probably look that up and see. But I think definitely that's an issue for any U.S. star or athletes. You know, we have a lot of guys, a lot of athletes. Even recently, Dwight Howard was somewhere else playing basketball because his NBA career is shortened. So that's the question. Sometimes it's not even just we're not paying them enough money. It's just that they're so sport-driven. For example, Tom Brady. He doesn't want to give it up. Football to him is a challenge, and he's used to that challenge every year and every day of his life, and now he doesn't want to give it up. So, you know, and also our question is, should we go over there and indulge in extracurricular activities? Like, why would you have weed or spice or any drugs on you? You know what situation you may get yourself in.
Yeah, I wonder if they plant that on her, though. I can't wait to hear her side of the story. I'm willing to argue they probably planted that on her.
And no, that hasn't... Go ahead.
She says she had a kid forced to say that in her confession. They haven't interviewed her yet. I'm waiting to hear her interview. I'm pretty sure she's going to say they planted that on her.
And also, Jeremiah, the average NBA base salary for this season is about $5.4 million compared to about $120,000 for WNBA.
So that's maybe.
So in other words,
go ahead, Don. I'm sorry.
In other words, we're talking about $5.4 million compared to approximately $150,000.
Yeah,
okay,
and I mean,
so I'm glad you said. I'm sorry. I'm glad you said that, Don. But what Michael was saying, too, about are we paying her enough, you guys got to understand that athletics is entertainment. So the people pay the salaries of the players and the entertainers. It's not to say, oh, we can pay them this amount, whatever. You got to look at what they're earning. And if the earnings aren't there, then you can't compare. The WNBA made about $60 million last year. $60 million. The NBA made about $10 billion. So for people that make that argument about, oh, they're not making as much as the men. No, you're not earning as much as the men. If your stadiums were jam-packed, if you were getting ratings that were, you know, where people were demanding to see you three times a week, four times a week, packing in, you know, 5-10 million viewers, then sure, you would get paid the same. But it's not a matter of discrimination. It's not a matter of them just being – it's a matter of earnings. You can't pay somebody what's not there.
Hey, Darius, I agree with you on the business aspect of it, absolutely. LeBron, the Laker game brought in more money than the Sparks game. I totally get the economics of it. You're absolutely right. But what about the endorsement side of that? I mean, if Brittany Griner, once again, two-time gold medalist, I mean, that says a lot. That holds a lot of weight to have won two gold medals for the United States. Why wasn't she on the cover of the Wheaties box? Why didn't Wheaties supplement her income? Why didn't Nike supplement her income? Why didn't she have huge endorsement deals like LeBron and those guys is the question I'm asking.
She does have endorsement deals. She just doesn't get the kind of money that they get because they don't command, she doesn't command the kind of attention, and she doesn't command the type of following that they have. So once again, it's about economics. It's not about gender. If you have a LeBron
and the NBA
James,
has never, the WNBA has never been that huge.
Right. They've never been that huge. They've never attracted. Even the Olympic women's team have never even drawn the publicity in the crowds that the men's Olympic teams draws. So that's why the endorsement money is not the same. Because when businesses pay endorsement fees, they're paying for advertisement. They're paying for recognition. And if you're somebody who's not widely recognized, you're not going to get paid the same amount of money. They're not just giving it away.
Okay, I guess well, then at that point, the question will become, should the NBA, should LeBron and those guys, should they supplement their, you know, should they give a cut of their income back to the WNBA? Then that's the question.
Well, absolutely
becomes that.
Not.
So we just be all one big conglomerate here, and we all work for the same company, and we all eat the same way.
Absolutely
no, they're not going to do that, Mike. The rich get richer and the poor get poorer.
Well, then Steph Curry and LeBron and them need to shut up about it then. They shouldn't get up there and complain about the girls not getting what we're getting. They're like, okay, well, if you want it that way then, guys, then you got to take a cut of your money and give it to them then. That's the only way this works.
Well,
because, Michael,
well.
They're virtue signaling. They're virtue signaling, Michael, like so many celebrities do. They say what's popular, what sounds good, you know, but when you see what they're actually doing and how they're actually living, they don't live that way.
All right, gentlemen.
I got a topic, gentlemen, I'd like to bring to the table.
All right.
We just had a situation where a young man, Ellen DeGeneres, DJ, committed suicide. And we're going into Christmas, and that's a time when suicide behavior is running rapid. People are feeling depressed, less than, lack of money, can't buy toys for the kids, et cetera, et cetera. My question is, mental illness and suicide is running rapid. What can be done to deal with that? Because people know how to hide it very well. He hid that very well.
I think it's something that psychologists need to get together to try to come up with, because if you're hiding it, how do you know how to handle it? How do you know how to fix it? Go to the doctor and say nothing's wrong with you. I think the thing is, you got to get people to say that, talk about it. What are your thoughts on that, Jeremiah?
I didn't get the last part of that question. I'm sorry.
Don, you want to tell him again?
Yeah, we just had a young man commit suicide, Ellen DeGeneres, DJ, on our show. What can we do to deal with that mental illness of suicide behavior?
Previously, you know, I worked for a hospital, and they actually specialize in mental health. You know, I would say, and it really depends, because the person has to be open to help, open to telling someone they have a problem, because most of the time we can't recognize a problem unless someone's speaking up. But just like we said in the show earlier, we're giving these other countries $100 million, and we have major problems at home, mental illness, homelessness, things of that nature. But I just think there should be more, even the veterans as well, with mental or PTSD and such. So I just think we should be doing more as a whole, as a country, as a state, as a community, as a friend, as a brother. As far as if you see something strange, try to get the person to open up about it and see if you can help them, and see if you can get them help as well, because everybody's not a trained professional, but everybody needs care. I remember you used to say that a lot, Don, care, care, care. You know, we need to care for each other, and we need to show empathy and understanding to each other.
And you know what else I think has a lot to do with it? I think it's the people who are reaching out to help the people who suffer from depression, because, and I'm speaking as a guy who, I suffered from depression at a young age. I went through a horrible stage in my life where I suffered from depression. So now as an older man, I can see depression in other people. Like, I can tell a person who's suffering from depression. But the average person who's never gone through depression, you can't really just see a person who's depressed. So I think it's going to take a lot of people who've gone through it to go back into that profession, Jeremiah, to try to reach one, to teach one, I guess is what I'm trying to say, as opposed to just bringing people into there to try to help these people who really don't know what it's like to go through depression.
All right. Let's go through a couple of these questions that I got from people who are listening who want to hear the men's opinion of this. The first one is, what is the number one thing you don't like about women? All right. Who wants to take that one on?
I'll take it on, and I'm going to talk about my generation in a sense. I think a lot of young women are not understanding what a woman, the criteria that calls, you know, the duty that calls to being a woman, that criteria, what it is, what does, not what a man expects and what a husband expects. Because a lot of women, they want to be married, and sometimes when they're going through things, they like to say that what's that word that we women usually say when they're not having sex? It was like abstinence. There's another word out there, but that also means that you'll never be married. What was it?
Celibate.
Yeah. When you say celibate, that means you don't want to have sex. Neither do you want to get married. But I think a lot of women need to understand, you know, what it is to be a mother, what it is to be a wife. Because it's the young having, you know, the young parents having kids that are, and they're not raising them to understand what it is to be a woman, what's expected of you, what's expected of being a wife. That's the first thing that comes to my head.
All right. Anyone else?
Let me take that one, David, if I may. There's absolutely, positively nothing that I dislike about women. I love everything about women. So I sat here while he was talking. I was trying to think, what is the one thing that I don't like about women? And I couldn't come up with one thing. I love everything about a woman and women and what they bring and how they're nurturers. And I just love women. So I guess I'm biased to that one. There's nothing I don't love about women.
You're in California, right?
Yep,
and that's a lot better than Florida. I'll tell you that now, buddy.
Wow. Okay, we only got like 5 minutes left in the show, so let me go through a couple more of these questions. The next one was, are you intimidated by women that make more money than you? What are your thoughts on that one, Darius?
It's funny that you say that, because that ties into one of the things that I don't like about women. Proverbs 31 says a woman is most attractive when she is meek, when she's mild-mannered, when she's not outspoken. And that's one of the things I hate about women, especially black women, when they're loud and obnoxious and do not give, and I'm not saying all men, but if it's your man, if it's your husband, if you chose him, then you should render the respect due to him as your husband or as your man. And that, to me, is the most unattractive thing about a woman. So when you say money, I have absolutely no problem with a woman earning more money as long as she earns it in a way that doesn't emasculate her man and her sons. Because the problem with women earning more money is some of them think that they can take on the role of a man because they bring the money home. And as long as they can understand that there is a separate role and that the amount of money you make does not change that role, then I'm all for it. Power to the sisters.
Hey, Darius, I got to say this real quick. First of all, I can't believe you said that. I really cannot believe you just said that, especially black women. I love women, a lot of women who speaks up and speaks her mind and has a lot to say. But you just proved my point on religion. You quoted the Bible as your reason for hating women. I'm an atheist. I don't believe in the Bible. And I love women. So you
Mike,
just
I don't hate women.
Regards to,
Mike,
wait,
Michael,
we
Michael,
all,
Michael,
wait,
Michael.
Wait. We all love women now.
Let me,
we all love women too.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Jeremiah. Let me correct that. I don't hate women, man. I think that's the beautiful, most beautiful thing God made was a woman. I
but
love
you found
women.
You found something in the Bible to justify hating a woman. You found a verse
I know
in the
I didn't.
Bible to justify
Mike,
it.
Michael, I didn't say, she said, what do I hate? What do I hate about women? Not hate women. I'm saying I hate women who are loud, obnoxious, and emasculating. I hate that part of them. Do I hate women? Absolutely not. So there you hate about
I
think, a woman.
I love every part of the woman. There's no part of a woman I hate.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's fine. I'm saying me. This is me talking. I wasn't asking what Michael thinks. And it doesn't mean that I hate women, Michael. I love women. My mother's a woman. My wife is a woman. My daughter's
okay,
a woman.
How can you put the word hate and woman in the same sentence? I can't even do that.
Not
I'm
hate
not
a woman.
But think about it. If he said hate, it was towards the actions of a woman, not women themselves.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you, because he's not getting what I'm saying.
All right, gentlemen.
I totally get what you're saying.
We need to get through some of these. We only got 3 minutes left in the show. Whole list of these questions.
I love you, baby. I love you.
All right.
My wife's cooking my dinner right now.
Would you rather win $1 million or fall in love? Don, would you rather win $1 million or fall in love?
David, say that again. Now, come on here.
The question is, would you rather win $1 million or fall in love?
Well, I'm already in love. Can I just win the $1 million?
I guess. I don't know. Okay.
I'd like
about
to have
you?
Both. I'd like to have both because money is only an answer, David.
Right.
You know, that's all. Money is only an answer.
What about you, Jeremiah? Whether win $1 million or fall in love?
I would say if it's true love from her part, right? Because, again, Michael might not like this. Women suffer from a condition called hypergamy. So you might have to remarry again. This is something I have to think about. You might have to remarry again if this woman doesn't love you, right? Right? And then you can't always get $1 million. This is a one-time thing. So you can change the trajectory of your children's lives and your family by having $1 million, right? Because guess what? If this woman leaves you 10 years later because of hypergamy, now you didn't get the money, neither do you have her. Start all over, sir.
All right.
I would prefer love, definitely. Definitely. But in cases of this day and age, you don't know what to trust. You can trust your money. You can trust what's in your bank.
All right.
You need both, Jeremiah. You need both, bro.
Yeah, I would say so.
Hey, David, if I had to choose one, I would just fall in love with the $1 million after they gave it to me.
I hope your woman hit you with that skillet next to her.
But David, I've been both, so maybe I can speak the best on this subject. So I've been a millionaire and was married before. I hope my kids aren't listening, my older kids. But I've been a millionaire, and I was married before, and I was absolutely miserable with her. I've got a whole lot less now than I had then, and the wife that I have now, man, I just look forward to coming home every day to see her, lay down every night with her, and wake up every morning and look at her face. So what I have with her means far more today than what it meant when I had $1 million with my ex-wife. So I take the love in a heartbeat.
Well, thanks everyone for listening. We hope everyone have a great Christmas holiday. We will not be back on the air until January the 8th, until the men are taking off to enjoy the holidays with their family and friends. So you've been listening to The Man's Voice, and thanks for the questions. We will see you. We will talk to you again next year. Have a great holiday, guys.
Happy holidays, everybody.
Happy New Year. Merry Christmas.
Happy holidays, God. God bless. Have a good one.